You're listening to Sean Keel and Terry Riley on WGXC.
The Roxbury Farm, and then talk to us about yesterday's incident.
All right, yeah. So, well, you know, we farm about a 400-acre tract here, right, in Kindle Hill Creek. We're organic and biodynamic, and we have a community support farm. We support about 1,400 families with our meat and vegetables, fruit, chicken. So, this is a farm, and we employ. Yesterday, I got a call from Stephen Schneider from Northern Valley alerting me around 8 o'clock or so that apparently there had been a chemical fire. I had no idea. So we started looking into it. We really were kind of in the dark. I didn't know quite what to do. People had really been out there at 6 in the morning. And then I guess around 10 o'clock or so, we got an, some kind of a press release where it actually Roderick called me up and he said, like, apparently anybody within a 15-mile radius should not be outside. I was a little surprised that nobody had really come by or alerted us or anything like that. And maybe that's part of it, but, you know, we're not maybe on a system to be alerted. I don't know. I heard that some people were alerted. Actually, at 3:30 in the morning, it was a text message.
Basically, 2 miles?
2 miles away. We're on County Road 22.
So what happened? What happened last night?
Well, I was woken up by blinding light in my room at 2 a.m. And I understand that the fire began closer to midnight, but the explosion that I
So was aware there were continued explosions.
At the first one that I was aware of was 2 a.m. And I was actually woken up by the light, not the sound. And looked out, and in my sleepiness, thought someone must be the fireworks. But it was very soon apparent that it was a solid column of fire reaching from the tree line up to the clouds.
Was it blowing in your direction?
Because of the full moon, the smoke, unluckily for those in its path, but was not coming our way. It was very clearly, it seemed to be going along the river. And quite steadily and contained and concentrated, very, very dark smoke. And there were regular explosions, I'd say about every 20 minutes. I was probably up until 4 or 5 a.m. Watching. It would subside momentarily and then flare up again.
So it was like watching a fireworks display?
No. It was a column of fire. One giant elephant leg of a Roman candle. Spewing dark, dark smoke.
Did you smell it?
I could not smell it, but I could hear it. It sounded like a roaring fireplace, as if you were right next to a roaring fireplace. And with every flare up, you would hear a whoosh. It was really quite something and scary.
Well, I'm not surprised that they haven't found any PCBs, because you can't get a PCB measurement in a period of 24 hours. So, that doesn't mean that the analyses were done properly. Whether there are a lot of PCBs there or not, you know, this is, I think one has to take the lessons from 9/11 on this particular fire. Now, it isn't the building collapse, so there isn't the amount of material coming from wallboard and that sort of thing. But remember in 9/11, they had fires that burned for many months. Those fires were burning a whole variety of substances, many of which were toxic, and they're releasing smoke. and it's the soot that is of the greatest concern. Now, when you have a fire like this, a lot of nasty chemicals will vaporize. Because it contains what we call polyaromatic hydrocarbons. These are cancer-causing agents. They're found in lots of places, in diesel exhaust, charred hamburgers, and that sort of thing. But when you have a fire with hazardous materials, that soot contains many additional chemicals that add to the hazards already. That can include metals like lead. Now, again, I don't know exactly when this building was constructed, but there's lead in almost every building. If it was constructed before about 1980, it almost certainly has asbestos. And asbestos is a proven human carcinogen, and it will be found in the particulate. Whenever there's a fire that's burning anything containing chlorine, it forms dioxin. And PCBs also can form dioxins and furans, which are even more toxic than the furan compounds. And while some of these will be vaporized, others will be bound to those particulates. So one of the things we learned from 9/11 is people's houses ended up dusty. And that dust is the deposit of the particulate, the soot from the boom. And people in general just took their vacuum cleaner and vacuumed it up. So a lot of the particulates that were the most dangerous were so small that they went right through the vacuum cleaner and blew out and made things even worse. So if there is a dusty layer in your home, in your apartment, in your business, the wiser thing to do, short of getting a commercial operation that knows how to handle toxic dust, would be to use a wet mop and mop it up. Don't depend on a vacuum cleaner. It's the dust that is going to be the most dangerous. We may not know exactly what's in the dust, but if it's from a fire in a building that contains hazardous materials, that's what people should be concerned about.
And that's what the Columbia County Emergency Management Service has released this statement. It says, if wiping soot off with damp rags, they should be placed in a plastic garbage bag and wait further information on what to do with them. Is that, would you recommend?
Well, that's consistent with what I'm saying. It's the dust that one needs to be concerned about after the fire is put out. When the fire is still going, breathing the air can be dangerous because of the things in the vapor form in the air. But now the dust is of concern. And that dust should be taken very seriously. We may not know what's in it right now, but because this is a fire in a building with lots of nasty things, it is almost certain that dust is dangerous, and it should be treated as a hazardous material, wiped up, mopped up, actually wiping with a wet cloth, and then treating the cloth as a dangerous thing is probably better even than a mop. Because you want to get that contaminated dust as far away from people as possible, and you need to really do every part of the house, because when this enters a living dwelling, it will deposit everywhere, and it'll be there 5 months from now if it's not picked up now and taken care of properly.
What about the dust outside on the lawn and the driveway and so on?
Well, it's almost nothing that one can do about that. I would expect that the health department and other organizations will analyze that dust carefully to determine what is actually in it. Those analyses cannot be done in 24 hours. They're much more complicated than that. And there does need to be a clear determination of what was released from the fire. But you may not want to have your kids playing on the lawn the next few days. the rain will come and wash the dust down to the soil. So in the long term, it's not likely to pose a major health hazard, but in the short term, it may.
What about crops and gardens and animals and animal hay and feed? Is that a concern?
Well, I'm a farmer, so I'm very sensitive to those things. For people that have gardens, it will be extremely important that you wash the lettuce and the Swiss chard and any vegetable above the ground. Wash your tomatoes carefully before eating them. The dust will settle on the surfaces, and washing of the vegetables should take care of any problems. Most of the contaminants of concern are not going to be taken up by a root crop. So the carrots, as long as they're washed, the potatoes, as long as they're washed, should be okay. The deposition of chemicals on hay for animals, again, that's a problem, depending on how much of what chemical is in the dust. The rain will wash it away. So, you know, the advice for farmers is don't mow your hay right now. Let a couple good rainstorms come. Because if you cut your hay and bale it and store it for the winter, and it's covered with contaminated dust, you're going to be feeding your animals that all winter. It really depends on what is in the dust. And we don't know that at the present time. But it's certainly wise to be cautious and to recognize that the dust may be a very dangerous material.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to David Carpenter, a professor of at University of Albany in the School of Public Health, who is also director of the Institute for Health and the Environment at University of Albany School of Public Health. What other things should folks in Columbia County be worried about this fire at TCI last night?
Well, I don't think that they should be panicked by any means. The appropriate response to something like that is to be informed, to take reasonable precautions, and to just not go extreme on it, because something like this happens quite frequently. The best advice is to be very aware that the dust may be very dangerous. And good house cleaning is probably appropriate this time of the year anyhow, and that should be done if there's any indication that there's an increase in the amount of dust in the house. If there is, the whole house should be cleaned with, it should be either wet mopped or cleaned with wet towels that are treated as dangerous things and not just handled casually. Beyond that, I think it's unlikely there's going to be any long-term danger. Don't eat your vegetables without washing them from the garden. Don't cut your hay until there are a couple of good rainstorms. Beyond that, these chemicals, we have them in our environment in many places, but you want to reduce your exposure to them as much as you can.
If you've been on the internet today, there's been lots of skepticism about the official announcements that everything is safe. People keep, you mentioned 9/11 before, people online keep mentioning September 11th and the days after when officials told everybody that everything was going to be okay and that you didn't have to worry about the dust and all this sort of thing, and then it turned out it actually was pretty dangerous. What would you say to people that have that sort of reasoning?
That skepticism is very well done. 9/11 is just a case in point. And this statement that there are no PCB problems, that's absolutely false. You can't do a PCB analysis with any sensitivity in the time frame since the fire has been going on. So I really knock public health agencies, and I used to work for the New York State Health Department, but agencies that issue statements trying to reassure people when there is no basis for reassuring them is just wrong. I think that the degree of the danger is uncertain, and that's the message that should go out. Don't give yourself or your family more exposure than can be avoided. But on the other hand, don't panic about it. we have these things all the time. We're all exposed to some of these same chemicals at lower concentrations regularly. But the best thing to do is to treat this as something where you can take logical steps that will reduce your exposure, that don't harm your family to an excessive degree, but also don't change your way of life in ridiculous fashion. But I don't think that it's appropriate to issue these statements saying there's no problem when there isn't enough information to prove that there's no problem.
And in the coming days, what sort of information are you going to be looking for to find out if there is danger here?
I would like to see clear, careful, analytical results of the dust that comes from the fire. The compounds that go into the air and are vaporized, they'll blow away. I have a project in northern Alaska where people are exposed to PCBs and other chemicals that come from down here. But it's what's in the dust that's of concern. And it'll take several days before we really know what that is, if it's done properly.
All right. Thank you very much, David Carpenter, professor from University of Albany.
I live in Philmont, which is within the town of Claverick, which is 6 miles from the fire, called the mayor. The mayor took it upon himself to then make some phone calls and called me back, basically relaying the information that was already being disseminated through NewsOut. He said that he had received no phone calls from any member of an emergency management team. None. That he had not received any phone call from anyone with regard to this situation. I'm profoundly concerned, particularly in light of the fact that it's anecdotally I've learned that people in Rensselaer County, as well as Berkshire County in Massachusetts, received phone calls informing residents of the air quality situation, and Columbia County residents within serious proximity to this event received none. Just before they're allowed to be free. Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? And how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is a blowing in the wind.
Sky and sell the sky and bleed. and Jazzy Fizzle.
Production. I think it's just one of those situations where it's kind of like you throw your hands up in the air and it's like, Jesus, if there's really dioxin and PCBs in the air, you know, I mean, we're done. I mean, that's like, I was in shock, honestly, that something like that was happening in our backyard. I had no knowledge. I mean, you know, you don't smell PCBs, you don't smell dioxin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like chemical fire, you know, smell like oil and diesel or whatever it is. I mean, but, you know, it looks much worse than it is. This kind of stuff is nasty. And if that would actually, I mean, they were telling us, you know, that we had to get our animals off the land and not have new grass. We call ag and market stuff, because that's what the research, all the research we did. We called everybody up, you know, we're supposed to know. And then ag and market informed us that, you know, the best thing to do is to keep our animals from boards and stuff like that. And like, well, that's pretty impractical. And by the way, if there is dioxin or anything on the land. Let me do my 1-2-step. Well, how expected me at this point is that, you know, I think I have to believe the authorities that, nothing really toxic is being released. But how it affects me in the sense is that it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for all of us that, you know, somebody's taking transformers apart, you know, in our backyard. And this is the second fire that has had in our plant in 1 year. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know. I mean, we're trying to... Columbia County, you know, to be this place, you know, where new farms are starting up and you know, where we're having a huge market to fill here in New York City, Westchester County, the Capital District. You know, we can't do that if we put these plants to fit. Our customers, even though we're not certified, they're very conscientious about what they do. They hear that, you know, there's a, you know, a little mini Fukushima or Chernobyl happening in over here. They're not going to eat our food.
Uh-huh.
That's simple. I mean, we're not the only farm here, you know, in Kinderhook or in Ghent that will be deeply affected if our land was polluted. What is happening, you know, because I didn't even know that building was there. I mean, I drive by there quite frequently. I had no idea that building was there. I mean, I knew the back was there and the trusses, you know, being built. I mean, those are, you know, honest businesses that I have no problem with. But then someone taking transformers apart, I mean, I think we need to be informed. And so I don't think it should be allowed. They didn't really know, so they just, you know, at some point, you know, they told us that everybody was in the system already to be outside, but they had no idea. Doesn't make any sense.
Now, that some kind of better...
There's a lot of things that don't make sense. The early warning system doesn't make sense. The inventory doesn't make any sense. So I think these are the kind of things that is like, if you have a plan like that, you know, if you're living near Yankee Nuclear Power Plant, I mean, you know, you have more knowledge of what's going on there than we knew about a small plant that takes transformers apart. And it can be for the people who are so private, you know, just as toxic.